shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning, the 20th of November. And we are asking the question on the WBSM Facebook page. And you can also, you can put it there. You can put it in app chat. You can send an open line voicemail. You can call in. But we're asking the question, what is the most valuable thing that you've ever had that you might not have known was worth something because, or worth so much? Because there was a gentleman, WCVB has a story, a gentleman in Danvers who had a baseball card. He actually had two valuable baseball cards. One was a Shoeless Joe Jackson from the 1919 Black Sox scandal. Remember, he was the White Sox player. He was involved in I think most people probably remember him more for Field of Dreams, right? But anyway, he had a Joe Jackson card that turned out to be worth about $50,000. But then he later found a Babe Ruth rookie card from 1916 worth, could be in the millions. It's going up for auction with a starting bid of $150,000, but it's going to go a lot higher than that. So that story kind of prompted that question. What is the most valuable thing that you had no idea was worth so much? And I can give you some of the Facebook responses that we are getting so far on this question. Just refreshing. Give me one second. We got some pretty good ones, too. I mean, Jesse says, my dignity. I was like, well, you should have known that that had some value. Scott says, my wife. Somebody's trying to score some brownie points with that answer. CC Phil says, I have a baseball card worth $60,000. That's pretty impressive. Ray says, Hot Wheels cars can fetch $100,000 or more depending on the condition. A pink Volkswagen Beach Bomb just sold for $175,000. Crazy that I had one when I was a kid. Jeff says he bought an antique tin toy at a yard sale for $5, a mint condition Japanese Fokker airplane. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sold it for $3,200 to a collector in the Philippines. That's a heck of a score there. Mary Lou says my husband had a Les Paul guitar he bought in 1959 for $300. In 1993, we found out how valuable it was, and we sold it for $25,000 cash. And a brand new replica. We were shocked to find out how much it was worth. Yeah, I mean, I've found things at yard sales that I had no idea. You know, I was like, I bet you this is worth something. And, you know, back in the day, before you had a smartphone in your pocket, now I'm still with the internet, though, because, God, I don't want to go back to the days when I couldn't look things up and I had to go to dealers and ask them because, you know, not everybody was being honest and truthful with you. But when you had the internet, but you didn't have the internet readily available to you, you could go and you could find these deals. buy something, take it home, and then get on the computer and look it up and see, like, oh, what is this worth? And then, you know, the moments of anticipation where it could be worth something, and then you get disappointment of that. It's not really worth anything. Or maybe you did have a good find. But now with everybody having a smartphone in their pocket, people are just looking stuff up before they even buy it at the yard sale. And people are looking it up and they put it out at the yard sale and pricing it as if this was a, you know, an antique fair and not a yard sale. Like, do you want this stuff out of your yard or do you want top dollar for it? But I've had good scores before. I mean, you know, we used to do this as a side business. My ex-wife and I, I had a pickup truck. I'd go out on Saturday mornings. Sunday mornings, I'd go out early and I'd go out and I'd just kind of look and see if I had the eye for things. And it was a lot of phone calls home to her because, again, pre-smartphone, call back to her and say, hey, look this up and see if this has any value. You know, there was a lot of that going on. And it was usually like, well, you know, how much is it? I can probably do something with it. Bring it home. And then my favorite thing to do was to go around on a Sunday afternoon when people were done with their yard sales and just, you know, make an offer on everything that was left on the ground. I was inspired to do that by a yard sale I went to in Middleborough where my friend was looking for an air conditioner. I think I've told this story before, but my friend was looking for an air conditioner and she said, if you find one, you know, I need one. And I said, well, what would you like to pay for it? And she said, I don't know. Hopefully I can get one for like $20. I said, well, I don't know, but I'll ask around if I see one. And I saw a yard sale in Middleborough, downtown Middleborough, one of those fancy, you know, old houses there. And they had an air conditioner out. And this was like 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And I said, how much do you want for the air conditioner? And they said, everything's $20. And I said, well, I'll give you $20 for the air conditioner, but you've got a lot of stuff here that I don't think is worth $20. Like, you're charging $20 for this? And they're like, no, no, no. You give us $20, you can take everything that's left. They're like, we see you have a pickup truck. Just load it into the truck and you can have it all for $20. So I'm like, well, I'm going to get that $20 back from my friend for the air conditioner, so let's do it. So I did it. I loaded everything into the back of my truck and I ended up not charging her for the air conditioner anyway because there was so much value in the stuff that I brought home. But I remember I was meeting Spooky South Coast co-founder Matt Costa in Plymouth for dinner that night. And so I had all this stuff tucked into the back of my pickup truck. And after we were done eating, we go out there and we're like digging through it and being like, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look at this. Antique cameras. There was a Gillette Super Speed razor from the 1940s, which I still have. I shave with it. There was old Playboy magazines going back to the 50s and 60s, old records. I mean, there was a lot of valuable stuff in this yard sale, and we probably made a ton of money selling all that stuff later on. And that was, you know, kind of on a whim, thinking there would be some valuable stuff in there. I didn't really look at the stuff. I just threw it in the truck. Because my thought process was, even if it's all junk, I worked at the diner at the time. We had a dumpster. I could just throw the stuff in the dumpster in the morning that they come to empty it, and the boss would never know I filled up the dumpster with this stuff. Like, that was kind of my thought process. And it turned out to be stuff that we were selling off piece by piece for years. And then there was a time when I went and just bought a box of old books for $5 because we liked old books. I was like, I don't even know what's in there. I don't know if any of them's valuable, but we would collect old books and go through them. And then if there were ones we didn't want, we would donate somewhere or give to somebody else that was a reader or whatever. And I'm talking old, like 1800s. And in there was like a 19-something Finnish Bible that turned out to be worth like $300, I think. I think we ended up selling it for like $65, $70. But still, like off a $5 investment. I went to an antique fair one time, and for $2, I bought the book The Klansman, which is the book that Birth of a Nation was based on, that famous movie from, I think, 1914. Birth of a Nation, which, you know, is controversial, but if you've never seen it, it was the first American epic. And so this is the book that it was based on. And they wanted $2 for this book. This is the original first printing. And it was worth like $200 in the condition that it was in. So you never know. So that's why I was asking that question, you know, because based on that gentleman not knowing what he had when it came to those baseball cards. I'm sure a lot of you out there have been in a similar position where you had something, you didn't know its value. So we'll keep taking your answers on that on the Facebook page. We'll keep taking your app chat messages, your open line voicemails, and your phone calls, 508-996-0500. By the way, going back to app chat, Everett yesterday sent one that I didn't see in time before we went off the air. We were talking about the ability of the Boston radio announcers and TV announcers too, but the radio announcers more so, to be able to keep you entertained during these games and to be characters and have a shtick that keeps people tuning in. And I was mentioning, you know, Scott Zolak and his kind of zany persona can lend itself well, especially a season like this where the games aren't always, you know, going the way that Patriots fans want them to go. And Everett says, Zolak is an obnoxious homer. But I think that is what people want now, or at least certainly the networks that broadcast the games seem to want that now. They want homerism. They want people who are going to be cheering on the home team. They don't want somebody that's going to be objective. They don't want somebody that's going to refer to the team as them. They want somebody that's going to refer to the team as we. And when you work for those in those positions, you know, you're around the team all the time. You feel like you are a part of the team. And they want the fans to feel that as well. They want to give fans that kind of access so they feel like they have a piece of ownership of that team. Because that's how you build generational interest in the teams. And they know, you know, Celtics ownership and I guess whoever the future ownership will be, they know that this is a boom period and everything's going great. But boom periods don't last forever. And eventually they're going to have, you know, they're going to need fans that are still coming out to games even after, you know, the glory days of this run are over, which is still a long time away, but you're building toward the future. You don't want to get to be like where the Red Sox are, where they're watching their fan base dwindle because they're not putting a good enough product on the field. Especially whereas whoever the new Celtics owners are likely going to look into building the Celtics their own arena. So it's homerism is apparently what they're looking for these days. I don't agree with it, but I guess they think it's working. And I think that's because a lot of the fan base now comes more from the blogger world than the sports world. You know, they're not reading Bob Ryan, Lee Montville, Jackie McMullen is probably the best at it of making you care deeply about these players and these teams while also keeping a journalistic distance. Nobody was better at that than Jackie Mack. But you're not getting these kind of sports writers as being the people that folks are reading and influenced by anymore. No, it's the people who are blatantly opinionated homers or anti-homers. You know, somebody like a Scott Zolak where, I mean, Zoe can be critical. He doesn't have an inability to be critical where he needs to. But like Scal can be reluctantly critical. So you've either got somebody in that extreme or you've got somebody in, you know, the Mike Felger realm of I'm just going to be against them because that's going to get me phone calls. So I think that's what people want now. They want the extremes. They want that blogger mentality, that sports radio mentality. They don't want somebody that's going to be down the middle and objective. And when you think about it, the Celtics have kind of always had that because they had Johnny Most on the radio, who was no doubt the man who defined homerism. The yellow gutless way they do things here. I mean, come on. Like the guy was, if anybody that was against the Celtics was his sworn enemy, and you had to believe they were yours as well. They weren't there to beat the Celtics in a basketball game. They were there to steal away all of your joy. If you know, Bill Laimbeer could do it, he would take your grandkids away from you. Kurt Rambis would eat your dog. Like, that's the way that Johnny Most portrayed those things. And then, of course, Tommy Heinsohn kind of picked up that mantle. Tommy wasn't always a huge homer doing the broadcast. You go back and watch some of those. He used to do national games. But as, you know, that new era came into being where the Celtics were not as good after the original Big Three retired and they were in a down period, and then they were trying to get people interested in the team with Pierce and Walker, and so Tommy morphed into this huge homer. I mean, he'd always been that way to some degree, but like, he went over the top because that's what they wanted. And I think that's the way he always wanted to be, and he just restrained himself better before. Anyway, that's my little spiel on homerism. Why don't I take a break here? When we come back, we'll get into Jeff's question on App Chat. Wants to know my thoughts on Linda McMahon as Trump's pick for education secretary. We'll get into that in just a little bit. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Kind of cool what you said. Like a game show contestant with a parting gift. I cannot believe my eyes. When I saw through the farts of a trusted friend. And did you humor me and tell me lies? Yeah, humor me and tell me lies.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. So Jeff sent in an App Chat message asking me what I think about Donald Trump's election of Linda McMahon as education secretary. And on the surface, it seems like another pick where it's someone who doesn't have the right experience to be able to take on the job that they're going to be taking on. You know, Pete Hegseth doesn't have any experience running a department at all, and now he's going to be running the biggest department in the government. You know, Matt Gaetz, say what you will about him, you know, whether or not you want to believe the accusations against him, but is he qualified to be attorney general? And, you know, like, some of these, the qualification, Kash Patel, does he have the qualifications to? So that's the whole thing, is because these are Trump loyalists, They're not necessarily the best person for the job. They're the best person for Donald Trump. And on the surface, it appears like that's another situation with Linda McMahon, but she's actually been an advocate for education for a long time. So she studied to be a teacher and ended up not becoming one because she was helping her husband build the WWE. So what happened was he purchased that company from his father. The two of them together actually purchased it from his father. And then they turned it into the global juggernaut that it became. And she was a big, big part of that for a long time. And that is why Donald Trump selected her. I mean, part of the reason why he selected her, obviously, it's because he's close with the McMahons. They've been friends for a long time. She was a big supporter. She donated $6 million to his campaign in 2016. So, but that is why he selected her to be the head of the Small Business Administration. And when everything was going to hell with so many of his other parts of his administration and people quitting and people not lasting and people writing books and all that, like, she did a good job in that role, pushing his policies and staying loyal to him and also being part of his orbit ever since then. And now helping as part of the transition team. So they've worked very well together. He has a lot of respect for her. She did serve a year on the Board of Education in Connecticut. She was an appointee to that. Then she was looking to run for public office and didn't succeed. But the people who are in public office in Connecticut, including the people that ran against her, they support her. And they, like, listen, hey, you know, we won, but she would have still been a good pick. And so now what you're getting from them is support for her in this role. Now, the question is, what is this role going to be if, you know, the Trump wants to dismantle the education department? Why would he put her in charge of it? Maybe the pathway here is to find a way to revamp it. Because she's somebody who's been an ardent supporter of school choice. She's been an ardent supporter of charter schools. So maybe the thought process here is she can bring a different perspective to the way the education department has been run. And maybe make it so that it isn't a department that they want to eliminate. Because it's going to take a congressional act to be able to do that. They can't just delete departments as Vivek Ramaswamy was saying yesterday, that they're going to delete some department. They can't just do that with the education department. So this might signal a different approach and where, you know, well, maybe we'll just bring some fresh ideas in or some different approaches and see if we can make things better. Now, so I'm not as negative on her as a selection as I am on some of these other choices. However, the one thing that Linda McMahon brings with her is baggage, just like every other pick so far, baggage. Her husband is going through a very, very salacious scandal right now that forced him to have to step down from WWE. There are rumors that he is looking to start his own entertainment company. This is in the midst of, and while he's embroiled in the scandal, that basically involves sex trafficking of one of his employees. And if you haven't read all the details about what has been alleged by Janelle Grant against Vince McMahon, I'm not going to get into all the details here because they're not all fit for family radio. But basically utilizing an employee for his own desires and then passing her off to other employees, including apparently making the use of her part of one of the wrestler's contracts. These are the things that are alleged against Vince McMahon, and this is going to get, you know, this will all be aired out publicly soon enough, and then you might have Linda McMahon in the administration as this is going on. So certainly, Trump is not averse to picking people who are involved in scandals. And the question is, you know, how responsible is Linda McMahon for the actions of her husband? I guess that's up to the court of public opinion and apparently the Senate to decide. But in terms of doing the job, I have way more optimism for her doing a good job in that role than I did for Betsy DeVos. So let's hope, you know, she can get approved and revamp that and not make it a department that they want to get rid of anymore. All right, Phil Devitt is waiting to give you the news. We'll take more of your calls on the other side. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Phil.
It might be a while before you see Donald Trump back in a courtroom. Which blood pressure meds could be bad for your kidneys? And five ways to a happier life.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Trump's New York City hush money case might be put on hold for 4 years. In a series of filings, Trump's lawyers urged the judge to delay ruling on Trump's argument for presidential immunity. The DA's office also wanted a pause in the case, but not a dismissal. The Trump cabinet nominations keep rolling in. The latest, TV's Dr. Oz to lead the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Brian Shook has the details.
CMS oversees Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and healthcare.gov, which currently provides coverage to nearly 50% of Americans. Trump said Oz has been at the forefront of healthy living for decades and will work alongside Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been nominated to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Brian Shook.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries will lead his party again in the lower chamber. Democrats elected him for another 2 years on Tuesday. Minority Whip Catherine Clark and Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar were also reelected. Jeffries is the first black lawmaker to lead a party in Congress, taking over for former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as the House's top Democrat. The judge overseeing Sean Diddy Combs' case is reportedly calling an emergency hearing after his jail cell was raided by the feds. Combs' lawyers say feds raided his cell and seized privileged materials. It's according to TMZ. His attorney claimed those materials included notes to his legal team about defense witnesses and strategies for his trial, which is set for May in New York. More than 30 state attorneys general are joining a national effort to increase federal online protections for children. The bipartisan coalition is urging Congress to pass the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act before the end of the year. The group says lawmakers need to address the growing crisis of youth mental health linked to social media use. A new study from researchers at the University of Virginia School of Medicine indicates that some types of blood pressure medication can cause damage to the kidneys. Tammy Trujillo explains.
RAS inhibitors are widely used to block the effects of an enzyme that's produced by the kidneys when blood pressure drops. The UVA study shows that long-term use of RAS inhibitors can impair kidney function and lead to serious health problems. Researchers hope the study will lead to better ways to manage high blood pressure and other vascular diseases. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And when it comes to happiness, experts say there are five habits you can embrace to help your joy become more consistent. Lucinda Kay has the story.
A psychologist at UC Riverside says find activities you can become fully absorbed in. It's called a flow state, and it brings you joy, like music, yoga, art, volunteering. Practice random acts of kindness. They can make you feel generous and capable. And choose gratitude. Celebrate your wins and cheer on other people's accomplishments, too. And the big one, nurture your relationships. Research shows relationships are more important than money, your job, and even your health when it comes to the pursuit of happiness. I'm Lucinda Kay.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Bruins are moving on from their head coach just 20 games into the regular season. The Bruins announcing on Tuesday that Jim Montgomery has been let go. They're on home ice Thursday night with Utah Hockey Club. Celtics, meanwhile, hitting the road to play the Washington Wizards on Friday. New England Patriots in Miami to play the Dolphins on Sunday. You can hear the game right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
One last beautiful day in store for Wednesday before big changes to our weather. A soaking rain arrives on Thursday morning, marking likely the first time since September that we pick up over an inch of rain. Our latest forecast has trended even higher. This is great for a drought situation, but too much heavy rain at once could lead to flooding, so look out for that on the roads. Showers linger on Friday, with any rain being on the lighter side. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So because of that story that we shared earlier about the man who didn't know the value of these baseball cards that he had, having a Joe Jackson 1919 Chicago White Sox / Black Sox scandal baseball card worth $50,000. And then also having a Babe Ruth rookie card, which apparently is going to be worth in the millions once it is auctioned off coming up soon. I mean, that's basically like finding a lottery ticket, right? Imagine if you just went into your parents' attic and you're looking through and you're like, oh, what is this lottery ticket? I should go see if it's worth anything. Well, it's worth $2 million. That's basically what this gentleman just found. Because he mentioned the Joe Jackson card when he was talking to this gentleman about the cards. He mentioned having that card. He didn't mention a Babe Ruth rookie card because I don't think he knew that he had it until he went and found more cards. And also, kudos to this guy, for this Jeff Gross guy, for doing the right thing and, you know, helping him facilitate getting that card to an auction house. Because this guy could have been a jerk and been like, oh, I called my buddies. It's worth $400. They'll give you $400 for it. Well, you know what? I'm a nice guy. I'll give you $500. No, like, he did the right thing. He took this guy to the people that would make it work. I'm assuming that he facilitated it.
It's like when you watch those pawn store shows on TV. Doesn't matter which one, whether it's Hardcore Pawn or Pawn Stars or whatever it is. You watch those shows and, you know that when they're making that offer, they're lowballing the guy. They're not giving them what it's actually worth. Well, that's because they're going to put it out in their store and they've got to make a profit. And, you hear Rick say that all the time. Hey, I got to make something off of this. And, secondary people who are going to go and turn around and sell that will do that to you. That's why, you bring it to a card shop. Don't expect to get top dollar because they've got to make something back. But you bring it to an auction where collectors are going to be going at it to try to have that to add to their own personal collections. Yeah, you're going to get people that are going to go to that top dollar, especially for a card nobody's ever seen before. So this is going to be pretty interesting to see how that shakes out. But I asked the question, what are some of the things that you had that you knew were kind of valuable, but maybe were not as valuable as you thought? Or if you just want to brag about something valuable that you have. Malvo says, I have the full set of Topps basketball cards, including the Lou Alcindor rookie card. Now, for those who didn't follow his career, Lou Alcindor, better known now as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, played his first, I think, 6 seasons with the Milwaukee Bucks and came into the league under his birth name of Lou Alcindor before he converted and changed his name. So that card certainly has some value, but I would bet that there's other cards in that top set that have value. Because we're talking about, what was that, 69? Let me look up and see when he entered the league. Yeah, 69. So that would have been a 1969 set of Topps cards. So who else would you have had in that set? I'm just looking up who else were rookies in 1969 in the NBA. And, of course, I typed in 59 instead. Well, I mean, JoJo White, that card might have a few bucks value to it. Let's see. I mean, that's probably it. Yeah, that's probably it. So at least in terms of rookie cards. I mean, you might have some other cards in there that still have some value to people, but, not nearly as much. I went somewhere and they had a Jason Tatum rookie card. And they wanted 40 bucks for it. And I said, I don't know if I want to pay 40 bucks for that card. And now I'm thinking to myself, I wish I'd bought that card. I don't even know what the value on it is, but just looking at where his career will go, that would be a solid investment. So I gotta see if I can go back there and if they still have it. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I got to see if they still have it. Because maybe I got to go back and get that. And I haven't collected cards in a long time. But I think that's one worth getting. It's funny because I was going to buy a Tom Brady rookie card in 2001. Actually, well, it would have been 2002 because it was right after they won the Super Bowl. And I balked at paying $25 for the card. And think about what it would have been worth now. I don't even know, but it would have been decent. Lamone just messaged me. He said the name of that show that he was trying to think of was Strange Inheritance. I've never seen that. I'll have to look it up. I don't watch the business channels, so I don't. I'm not familiar with it. I have family that actually appear on those channels. My dad's uncle was a frequent contributor on some of the business networks. I'm not sure which ones. Whichever one runs the show, Bears and Bulls. He used to be on that show quite a bit. And now his son is on a lot because he's retired now. But every once in a while, I'd be like flipping through the channels. I'd be like, Uncle Lloyd. He's on TV. Very, very personable guy, so I could see why they would have him on. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And, you know, with the holidays coming up, your time is limited, right? You've only got so much time in the day to get all the things done you got to get done. Like right now, you're probably prepping to have the family come over for Thanksgiving. You're probably trying to get out there and do the holiday shopping that you need to do. You got to get out there and you got to get, you know, decorations put up. Maybe you haven't strung the lights up yet. You want to get that done soon. All these things are going to be taking up time. And it seems like they're not going to take up a lot of time, right? But then you start adding it all up. And when do you have time left to do the things you have to do? Like laundry. Well, one way you can get around that is by having Dash Laundromat do your laundry for you. They'll pick it up. They'll drop it off, starting at just $25 for up to 25 pounds of laundry. $1 a pound. Or you can drop off your laundry at their convenient lockers located right outside of Dash Laundromat at 1 State Road in Dartmouth, over there in the Shaw's Plaza. You just pull up, you use the Dash Laundromat app on your phone to be able to unlock the locker. You put your laundry in there, lock it up securely, put in your order. They'll wash, dry, fold. They give you all different kinds of options for different add-ins they can put in and different detergents they can use and all that. You customize it all right there on your app. And then they wash it, dry it, fold it, put it back in a locker. You come back and pick it up whenever it works for you. It couldn't be more convenient. And if you want to do your laundry there, you actually get rewarded for using their machines because you get a 25% bonus back on all their washing machines with a deposit of $10 or more. Like I said, I went in there and did my laundry, and I basically dried my clothes for free with the reward money that I got back. So that's the kind of savings that you can get by going to Dash Laundromat, 1 State Road in Dartmouth. But I also want you to keep this in mind, too, because with the holidays, with people coming over, you're going to have tablecloths that have to get washed. You're going to have, you know, bedding that's going to have to get washed if they're staying over. All those things, Dash can help you with that as well. And if you are a local restaurant or banquet hall or facility that is hosting holiday parties, why not have Dash do all of your linens for you? Let them wash the tablecloths. Let them wash your uniforms. Don't worry about hiring one of those services to come in and do it because they're going to charge you an arm and a leg. Call over to Dash, speak with Jason, and he will make a good deal for you to make it so that you can get all that done quickly, efficiently, and get on to the next holiday party. Get on to the next event that's taking place. And trust that it's being done by a local company with local ownership that just loves doing laundry. Jason just loves laundry. That's why he's over there with his sleeves rolled up. Actually, he's got a short sleeve shirt on, but he's over there doing the work himself because he loves laundry. And so why not put that to work for you with Dash Laundromat? Go to dashlaundromat.com or stop by and see them at 1 State Road in Dartmouth and make sure you download the Dash Laundromat app to find out more. All right, I've got to take one more break here before the end of the hour. Let me get that in so that we can make sure we don't miss it, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
With a knife to open up the sky's veins, some things will never change. They stand there looking backwards, half unconscious from the pain. They may seem rearranged. In the backwater swirling, there is something that'll never change. And when I should...
Gotta love the meat puppets. We are going to be heading into the news in just a moment, but we still got some time. 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in, we're talking about some of the things that people have that are worth money that they didn't realize were worth as much as they are. DSY says it's very difficult to buy from another dealer and make money. He says he has thousands of cards. I believe it. I know that you're a collector, DSY, so you've got all kinds of stuff. I don't have nearly as much as I used to, but I've still got some things. And at some point, I'm going to have to clean out my storage unit and get rid of all the stuff that I have. And who knows, maybe I'll go get a flea market space or, you know, space at the Cove or something and put some stuff out there. See if anybody bites on any of it. Because I've thrown away things that are worth so much money just because I didn't want to move them or bring them to storage or whatever. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm just tossing money away. But time is money, and I just don't have the time to deal with it all. My goal was, my father-in-law, before he passed away, had a business where him and his partner went out and did like estate cleanouts, and they would just go pick stuff up and then toss it. And if he had good stuff, he would come by the house and be like, I thought I'd see if you guys wanted to try to sell any of this stuff before I tossed it all. I'd be like, I'd be renting a warehouse and storing this all. And he says, and that's why you're not in this business. It's a good point. But I always thought that'd be something I'd love to do. I'd love to have a secondhand store, you know, start with used books, have other secondhand items, you know, something quirky. So maybe in retirement. Although I was talking with my friend yesterday, we're gonna start our own ice cream stand at some point later on in our lives. So we'll have our own ice cream stand. It'll be just like Welcome Farms. I'll even try to find the same exact cow and see if we can put it on the roof. We won't get the same exact cows that were out in the back, though, because I don't think they're around anymore. But we'll get new cows and new animals for people to pet. And we'll have ginger ice cream. Don't get too excited, though, folks. This is probably like 20 years away because I'm a long way from being able to invest in anything like that. But, hey, a guy can dream, right? The Sunset of My Life ice cream would not be a bad deal. I could be the next Matt McGrath. Matt McGrath. I keep doing that. I keep wanting to make him a member of...
It's simple math. Tim Horton's 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.